Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Time to podcast.
My favorite thing about podcasting, specifically on Tapes and Scouts, is A, Tim is here.
Hi.
So that's great.
Thanks.
I get out of this little tiny room into the slightly bigger room that's next door, which is nice.
It's a little more light comes in here.
So that's really, really cool. And then we get to talk about movies a bunch.
Yep. This is kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000, where I just kind of let you watch a bunch of movies and you go back into your potato hood and you and the knife puppy snuggle.
Mm-hmm. We do.
It's a lot of scars. I'm sorry.
It's a lot of, now that my skin is basically one large callus, it's fine.
That's true.
The knives are less effective, which is great.
Can't hurt you.
Not yet.
One day.
One day, definitely.
One day, I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about movies.
Ooh, I like those.
Movies. Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
Oh, I'll start this party.
Oh, let's do it.
I'm going to keep going.
Yes.
Still don't need a credit card to ride this train.
Wow, yeah. Still?
Still don't need it. It is 1989, Back to the Future, Part 2.
Dos.
Yeah. I watched this in August of 2020. It is 1 hour and 48 minutes. It's a sci-fi comedy directed by Robbie Z.
Did you watch these back to back?
I watched these back to back, yes.
Same day? Like, yeah.
One. Then the following weekend, we watched 2 and 3.
Nice.
Because Sam was like, I saw the first one, but when I was really young, so I barely remember it. And I was fair. Oh, these are nearly perfect, so we need to watch these.
Yes.
Starring Elizabeth Shue, Thomas F. Wilson, who we referenced a bunch in the last episode, and one of our favorites, Billy Zane.
Ah, there he is.
Love Billy Zane on this podcast.
Hi, Billy.
He is the greatest. IMDb movie summary. After trying to get rich in 2015, Marty must repeat his visit to 1955 to prevent disastrous changes to the timeline due to his own greed.
Mm.
Damn you, Marty. Just effing up. So I know that, all right, so let me just first off start by saying, if Back to the Future 2 or 3 are your favorite Back to the Future, you are wrong. You are wrong, and I will fight you with my callousy body.
Oh, yeah, he's just going to hug you and rub.
Yep, and you're going to be really, it's going to be like an Indian burn all over your body. It's going to hurt a lot.
And he's going to start dripping pus and blood and stuff.
Well, that's the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens now.
You don't want that.
I'm one big infection.
I agree with you, but I'm very curious how close 2 and 3 come to 1.
Yeah.
I have a feeling in my head.
Okay.
I have a feeling whereabouts you'll put them.
All right, fair enough.
But we'll see.
I think that this is a really cool idea for a sequel. I love the idea that Michael J. Fox is literally following around Michael J. Fox in 1955. I think that's a pretty neat little idea.
Yes.
The look into the future is a fascinating one. Like, how little of it actually came to fruition is funny. There's no flying car. Our houses aren't filled with fax machines. We don't have little tiny pizzas that expand into giant pizzas. We did get the cool hat. I have the cool hat. I don't have the jacket that just auto fits me. I don't have shoes that auto lace because Nike only released very few pairs of those in 2015.
Jerks.
So not much has really come true. They certainly have not abolished all lawyers.
Ugh.
No hoverboards.
Not really.
Kind of, yeah. Not like that. Right. Not like a legit hoverboard. Certainly not pit bull. Keep it. I got a pit bull now. Yeah. I think this is the switch flipping for Zemeckis, where he's starting to become obsessed with new technology. This was like the Panaglide film, I believe, was the technology here. So he could put Marty and Marty in the same frame. And that kind of became a thing. And Marty plays old Marty. He plays Marty Jr. He plays female Marty, the daughter, whatever that is. And then he's in there as a woman, which is strange, but he plays all these in the same shot a lot of the time.
Which one was Eddie Murphy?
He wasn't in this one, believe it or not.
Dang.
Eddie Murphy definitely took a nod from this and
sure did.
Coming to America a bunch. Well, I guess maybe Zemeckis took a nod from him because I think Coming to America was earlier in the 80s than 89.
I think it was. Yeah.
So, but I don't remember for sure. Trading Places, I think, when we did it in the podcast, 83 or 84. So that was earlier 80s. And then
yes.
Coming to America was after that because the Dukes are in Coming to America because they're homeless.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to say Coming to America, I'd probably put in the 86, 87 realm. So in that vein, though, but they could actually just lump them all into the same shot.
All of them.
Which is cool. A bunch of different Michael J. Foxes. Foxen?
Fox Eye.
But it's a neat idea. It's fun. The music's great in this one as well. No surprise there. Everything's pretty good. There's a lot of problems. None more obvious than the big timeline issue when Biff creates a different future and then time travels back to the same future somehow because they need to put him back so that the DeLorean can be there so that, you know, otherwise the whole movie would be them stuck in the future. So interesting concept, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you think about it too much because the movies are just really enjoyable.
Sure.
But the first one's not without time travel, like conundrums or issues, but the second one is way more apparent. And I think he tends, and we'll get into the third one, but I think he simplified a lot based on kind of the problems of the second one. But overall, a very fun movie. There's a lot to enjoy here. It's just hard not to want to go on an adventure with Marty McFly and Doc That's Brown.
True. It's very true.
IMDb, 7.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 61 critics went back and gave this 66%, which wow. I thought was like way low. Audience, 250,000 plus gave this 85%.
Okay.
And I'm coming in.
I'd put you at an 8.5.
8.0.
Ooh, that's close. 10.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah. What do you think? If you had to give it a score.
I would probably be around an 8 or an 8.5.
Okay.
I definitely would have to rewatch it because sometimes I confuse what was in 1 and what was in 2. Mm-hmm. 3 is different enough that that doesn't really happen.
It wasn't in the West. No, then it would happen in 3.
But 2's got the sports almanac, right?
That's correct. Two. Yep.
And that's exactly what I would do, Biff.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Biff. That's You're right. my hero, Biff.
I love the Biffco stuff. It's so great.
Very good. Yeah, I would probably be around an 8 or an 8.5.
Fair enough.
Well, this movie, I'm gonna do a movie. You ready?
Please.
I can't remember if I did this movie or not.
Oh, that's exciting. So you're going to possibly blob this one, huh?
I might. I can't remember if I did it or not. Because I picked this movie. Everybody's like, it's your turn. Pick a movie. And my wife's like, you already picked this. I was like, I don't remember. She's like, we watched it not that long ago.
I'm wow.
like, did we? Beverly Hills Ninja.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And I can't recall it for sure. I do not think that it's been reviewed on this podcast. I'm gonna lay my money down on no.
Okay, well, we'll go with it.
I love this movie, by the way.
Oh, it's a fun one. If you had said that I had done this, I would have had a backup movie to take okay. its place. But since we don't know, we'll do it again or possibly do it for the first time.
I think it's the first time. I'm going to go with first time. That's my bet.
I probably watched it with my family, but like right before we started this podcast.
I'm putting my money down on first time reviewed.
All right, well, this is the first time this movie's ever been reviewed.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Ninjas from 1997. I watched it on the 11th of February. It's an hour 28 action comedy directed by Dennis Dugan, starring Chris Farley, Nicolette Sheridan, and Robin Shou. I don't know how he says it.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, Liu Kang.
Yeah.
He was your go-to if you needed an Asian martial artist for your film. He was the go-to guy in the 90s.
He was.
And he's still pretty great now. Still mm-hmm. looks good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen him recently. Guy's still ripped.
That's awesome.
Maybe even more ripped.
That's possible. Chris Rock in this movie, too.
Chris Rock is great in this. He's yeah. just kind of like, whatever Chris Farley says to do, he's like, yeah, I'll go do it.
Yeah.
IMDb movie summary. A man tries to rescue a woman with a little help from his half-brother. I kid you not, that is the summary that is on
Wow,
there.
That's... What?
Super vague.
Oh my awful. Goodness.
Boo.
It's not wrong.
No, but it's like, you don't mention ninjutsu. You don't... This movie is a spoofy version of the origin of Iron Fist, essentially.
That's a fair way to put it.
If you know Iron Fist from the comics, it's this, you know, white baby ends up in yeah. Asian countries, trained by monks, learns ninjutsu kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that, but...
Less dragons.
Yes, because of course.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, it's Chris Farley, so it's a sillier movie. Chris Farley was a huge man, if you're not familiar.
He was.
Huge man. And I gotta tell you, he does some pretty good stunt work in this.
His physical comedy's really good.
And I don't think we've had anybody quite as good as him. And I don't know. I can't think of anybody.
Not like, at his size.
No. There is a funny thing, though. Some of the stunts are clearly not him.
Yeah.
They did not get a stunt man big enough.
Yeah.
Large enough, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's just like, wow, he's doing those cartwheels. Looks like he lost about 100 pounds.
Yep. So. It's so, like, he's just, he plays the naive character really well. It's so very good. Funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
Basically, I said this. I love it.
Yeah.
So good at these things. Why do I even bring this sheet?
You don't even need it.
It's mostly straight slapstick with the odd dramatic moments. When there's drama, it's just like, wait a minute. Like, that's weird. There are wild stunts in this movie that have nothing to do with martial arts.
It's yeah.
We're just going to run this forklift into this room and push it off a thing. And like, when I was like, where's the martial arts fun slapstick stuff? We're just going to blow some shit up for no reason.
Where's Chris Farley hitting people with giant fish?
Yeah.
I want that again.
That part's great.
Yeah.
The whole scene with him as the chef.
That,
oh my goodness.
It's smart doing that whole fight scene in a hibachi restaurant because they use like the hot surfaces and yeah. all the weird little knives.
Yeah,
and
when that breaks down, that is a great scene.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was not easy to pull off.
No. No, very cool set piece.
And Robin Shu, I'm guessing it's Shu, S-H-O-U. Amazing. Amazing.
He's very good in this.
Really great.
He's good at being funny. His timing's really good.
Yeah, because he's kind of like the one who pays for all of Chris Farley's stupidity.
Oh, yeah. He always gets up.
He eats shit the whole time.
The whole movie.
Yep. Even up to the last couple moments, he's still eating shit.
He absolutely is, yeah.
I don't know. This is not my favorite Chris Farley movie. It's hard for it not to be Tommy Boy. Tommy Boy good.
Tommy Boy so good.
I have a soft spot for Black Sheep. I saw that one in the theater.
Tommy Boy too. Black Sheep.
Essentially, yeah. But this is just something different from him.
Yeah.
And I won't say it expands his range, but it shows you that he's willing to just do a diverse kind of thing. I mean, there are dramatic moments, but it really is him playing into just being naive, where, you know, we've seen it previous on like SNL skits where it's just stupid versus naive.
Exactly.
So it feels familiar in that respect.
Yep.
So IMDb gave this a 5.6. Rotten Tomato Critics, what do you think a critic would rate this?
I would say somewhere, I would not go above a 30. I'm going to go with 27%.
You're on the right track. 14%.
Holy mother of God.
That's 29 critics. I can't imagine it getting that.
No.
Because it's very honest about what it is. If it's billed as a stupid karate movie, and it is a stupid karate movie. Well,
those are the movies critics like to pick on, though, because they're easy. Just, they get a chance to write a negative review, and critics love writing negative reviews more than they like writing positive reviews.
It's true. It's easier to say something negative than to praise something.
Yep.
The audience, 53%, 250,000 plus.
Sure.
I give it a 5.
I think that's a fair place to put it.
My wife also gave it a 5.
Yep.
And the mother-in-law, who is a punishing woman and very hard to please, gave it a 3.5.
I think I'm in line with you and the wife. I think it does about as much right as it does wrong.
Yeah. It's just a thing that's dumb and you could watch it.
Agreed.
I asked the mother-in-law today. Mm-hmm. I said, she's moved out. She's doing her own thing now. I said, are you going to come back? The audience wants to know. They want to know if they're still going to get the elusive mother-in-law score. She goes, oh, I'll be back.
Nice.
And I was like, something about that.
Did she put on sunglasses? Yeah. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
And she drives a car through the front of your house.
She did do that. It was very poor planning on my part. Your turn.
Yeah, I'm wrapping this up.
Wrap it up.
1990.
Oh.
Back to the Future.
Part 4.
Part 3.
Oh, damn.
Adrian's Revenge. I watched this in August of 2020. It is 1 hour 59 minutes American. Mm. It is sci-fi comedy western.
Yes.
Directed by Robbie Z. It is starring Mary Steenburgen, James Tolkan, who plays the principal through the whole thing.
Okay.
And Flea. From Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's right, Flea is in
this. Yes, he is.
I forgot about that.
Principal Strickland. Took me a second. He plays the sheriff in this one as well, in the West, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. IMDb movie summary. Stranded in 1955, Marty learns of Doc's death in 1885 and then has to travel back in order to save him. With no fuel for the DeLorean, the duo must now figure out how to escape the Old West before Doc is murdered.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun movie. I enjoy it. It's got some really cool Western elements. The fact that they built an entire Western Hill Valley out in the desert for this film is really cool. The fact that you got to see, it pays off so nicely through the latter sequels where they pay off the Marty being a chicken thing that that was a thing
for
the sequels.
Don't call me chicken.
Yeah, which is not a thing in the first one at all. Like, that's never a thing. It doesn't come up until the sequels, but they pay it off nicely. Yeah. Them being at the creation and the resurrection of the clock tower, like, the whole anniversary is really neat. They have the picture there to tie it together. It's a lot of fun. The music's pretty cool. I like the ZZ Top song. It's not as good as the Huey Lewis song.
It's fair, though.
The few things are the power of love.
That's true.
But I like it. Double Back's a fun song. I like... Mary Steenburgen and Christopher Lloyd's romance subplot in this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
It kind of, because Doc Brown's been the constant in the first two movies. Like, he's always the rational one. He makes the rational decisions. Marty's the one who flies off the handle and acts emotionally. Doc's the logical one. Right. And to see their roles have to get reversed, where Marty's like, Doc, we have to get back to the future. You can't, you know what I mean? You're going to screw up everything if you do this. And Doc being like, but it's love, though. Like, right. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was possible, but it is. Really good. I think the whole thing's a lot of fun. It's very endearing. The pushing the DeLorean with a train is pretty cool.
Love that idea.
Yeah, just like such a cool concept through the whole thing. It's very simple setup. It's just by this day, we have to figure out a way to get the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour. That's the setup.
I really love Buford Tannen in this.
Buford Mad Dog Tannen.
Love it. Love a good mad dog.
Mad_dog_Tannen.
There it is.
Mad Dog, I hate that name. It's just so much fun. You could tell the stunt guys had a blast on this movie. So much cool horse work, gunplay. It's so much fun. And yeah, it's hard not to like this movie. I do think of the three that it is, what do you think I'm going to say?
Your second favorite.
It is my third favorite. Mm. It is, I think, the weakest, but not by a lot.
I'd say it's my second favorite.
I think that's a fair... I would not fault anybody for saying that they like three better than two.
But I love Westerns, so I love those little nods.
This one's simpler. It gets... There's much better filmmaking in this one, I think. Like, there's some really cool camera work in here. There's a great shot where Doc is talking to Marty. And one of the things throughout the trilogy is Christopher Lloyd is a tall man.
Sure.
Michael J. Fox is a very short man.
Yes.
So they had a lot of trouble framing them both in shots because they're... height difference is so pronounced. And they did a really cool shot where they're talking to each other and Marty's standing in a mirror. So you see Marty in the mirror and Doc looking at him, not, you know, like they're essentially facing each other, but having a conversation because of the mirror. It's really smart and it's like framed perfectly. There's so many little nods in here and like really smart shots.
I love the shot where the DeLorean first goes back and all the Indians are on the horses around him.
Indians!
Yeah, that was a great shot.
The cavalry!
It's so good.
It's awesome. It's really fun. And the bear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's really good. And then you get into like him meeting his great-great-grandfather and stuff. It's a blast. It's just, it's hard to not have a good time and smile when like he's throwing pie pans and saying Frisbee far out. Stuff like that. It's just a hoot. It's so much fun. IMDb gives this a 7.4 out of 10, which is the lowest of the three. Rotten Tomatoes critics, siding with you, Tim, 45 critics give this an 80%, which is a pretty pronounced difference compared to the 66% that Back to the Future Part 2 got. Audience sides with me, 250,000 plus, give it a 78%. And I'm coming just under my 8 with a 7.5 on Back to the Future Part 3.
Awesome.
It's very good. You can't go wrong watching the three Back to the Future films. You just are going to have fun from top to bottom.
It's one of those things because, you know, I was... You know, 1990, I was 8. So, like, I watched this a lot. The third Indiana Jones has a place in my... Like, certain movies, just because they were new and fresh at the time...
Oh, yeah.
...really resonate with me more than maybe they should.
There's that nostalgia hit.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I got one more movie.
Ooh, I like movie.
It's a documentary.
Ooh, you like those.
I do, and I haven't done one in a little bit. I was like, oh, I think they're getting tired of it. But this one's from 2020.
Okay.
The Mystery of D.B. Cooper.
Ooh.
I love D.B. Cooper. Mm. What an interesting historical figure.
Yeah.
I watched this on February 13th. It's an hour 25. Documentary is your genre. It is directed by John Dower.
Okay.
Starring
very dour fellow.
He's so dour. I don't know how he ever directs anyone.
Yeah, I know.
Starring Joe Weber, Dwayne Weber, and Tim Collins.
Mm.
Your IMDb movie summary, a documentary that looks at the well-known case, which is largely regarded as the greatest unsolved heist in American history.
Mm.
If you're unfamiliar with D.B. Cooper, back in the 70s, went up in a plane, demanded a bunch of money. They landed, got him the money, go back up in the plane, jumps out of plane, never seen again.
Awesome.
Half the people think he died. Half the people think he just lived out his life.
Yep.
And what's interesting about this documentary is it asked the question about several different people. Could they have been D.B. Cooper?
Oh, that's interesting.
And there's enough evidence, and they talk to their families. Some of the people have passed, some of the people haven't. So it's like, oh, yeah, we knew this person. One was he became a transvestite woman was one of them. And they're like, oh, yeah, absolutely, it was him. And we knew. And then one day she came to us and was like, yes, I am actually D.B. Cooper.
Wow.
There was some copycats that they were like, they thought maybe they actually were D.B. Cooper doing it again.
Wow.
There's a lot of different things.
That's interesting.
And it's so good.
That's cool.
D.B. Cooper really came on my radar because of the Decoded episode by Brad Meltzer. I love that episode. Mm. And it actually does different things that aren't even covered in this, which is Meltzer. Wild. Ah, Meltzer.
Meltzer, you great.
You very good. I think it's a fascinating story because we just don't know.
Right.
We, to this day, don't know. It's weird that they treat him like a folk hero.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, have D.B. Cooper Day, and, like, they drink drinks that he drank on the plane, which I think is just whiskey.
Evade the man.
Yeah, it's wild. So he's seen as a hero because everybody was, like, poor, and everybody was not doing pretty well at this time, and it was like, this guy got over on the government, this guy got away with it.
Yeah.
Assuming he didn't die when he hit trees in the forest kind of thing. It's pretty fascinating. The case has since been closed by the FBI.
They're like,
we don't know.
It's official. We don't know.
Yep. So really, I don't know. So this is a pretty fascinating documentary. I don't know if it's the
best.
Just, it's a little, it just flows a little wonky to me.
Okay, that's fair.
So just from an actual movie-making perspective, I think it could be slightly better, but just as a concept and presenting these different people and the order that they present them. Because something one person says is kind of relevant to something somebody else says. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
So that being said, let's go to the scores. IMDb, 6.5.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 32 critics, 91%.
Wow.
Pretty shocking. Less than 50 people rated it as the audience, 53%.
Okay, quite the difference.
So we're everywhere now.
Yes, we are.
I gave it a 6.5.
Nice.
I fall in line with IMDb.
Yeah, that's fair.
My wife gave it a 4.0.
Okay.
Because no one is being murdered in this.
Sure.
And the mother-in-law said it was interesting, but she was sleepy. So she did not give it an actual...
Too sleepy to score.
Too sleepy to score.
At least she's honest.
I respect that.
Yeah.
There's at least one more movie she does that. She's like, I'm too tired to give it a real score.
I like that.
I was in and out of it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So
I've been there.
Oh, God. All the time. I fake it for the podcast.
Bye, everybody.
I'm kidding.